Wednesday night, Oil Chof Aleph Elul. And we're learning Chofetz Chof Aleph Shara Tshuva, which is why it's so packed here tonight. Yom Merom. Everybody wants to know how to do Tshuva. Perek Revi'i. Page Reish Chof in the printing that we're using. Perek Dalet is really... Perek Dalet dissects the process of tshuva. Perek Shlishi gave us what brings a person to do tshuva, prerequisites, realizations, and the internalization of certain concepts will bring somebody to do tshuva. Without that, he won't do tshuva shlema. At least Chofetz Chofetz is convinced of that. Perek Revi'i now gets you into the kishkios of tshuva, into the process of tshuva. Now, Perek Revi'i is very short, relatively speaking, and it doesn't say much. Perek Hamishi elaborates on Perek Revi'i. Perek Hamishi dissects and compartmentalizes and gives you the moving parts of each of the things of Perek Revi'i. So we'll go through Perek Revi'i rather quickly, because everything there is expanded and explained and dissected and shown what it really is made up of in Perek Hamishi. Perek Revi'i says, "I'll give you a tshuva hemarpo." I don't know, "Gidvei Hatshuva" is a funny translation. It means the components of tshuva, the components of doing tshuva. Four components. We're used to really, you know, Charata, Vidui, Kabbalah, or Charata, Kabbalah. Chavdavodis has four. Tchilas and Acharata, Mashachata, L'Sha'avar. Now remember, what's tshuva? What is tshuva that it has four components? Tshuva is changing your, in a certain sense, changing your lifestyle, getting on a different maslul. Even if you're not the most terrible chote in the world, but to whatever degree you veered off the path, you veered off the path. So you need four things are the components of tshuva, and I'll explain in this perek what they are and why you need each one. And in the fifth perek, I'll explain how you do each one, and or what is necessary for each one, or what it really means. So number one is charata. Without charata, there's something missing. Vasheni is aziva vanituk mehen. That's what's stopping the chet, stopping the behavioral, the what you do. Vashlishi is vidui lahodos behenulus vados aleihen. Barvi she kabbalah latzmo believe of a matzpuno shliyachzul asosim kabbalah la osud. So we usually are used to charata and kabbalah. He talks about charata, aziva sachet, the act of like removing yourself, like you're in a different place. Then you're makabel to stay away from that old place. And that's number four. Number three is vidui.
Rambam doesn't
say vidui. Is he was 150, 200 years before the Rambam.
Vidui is being molded that you did it?
Yeah. Chatasi avisi pashati.
So you have karate also molded you did it, no?
But it's a different emotion. Vidui is admitting you did it. I don't know. Charata is a different emotion. You have to feel sorry you did it. Vidui is bepeh. You have to do it bepeh. You have to face Hashem and say, "I was wrong."
So why is there no asking for forgiveness in tshuva?
You're going to see where asking for forgiveness comes in. It doesn't have to. Your kasha is not coming to Torah's logic. Logically, asking for tshuva will not have to be part of the tshuva process.
It should be, no?
No.
You want Hashem to forgive.
It's not tshuva. What are we doing tshuva?
Tshuva is you want to fix yourself.
It's true.
You want to be forgiven on the same thing.
Yeah. But why is that? That's not part of tshuva. Tshuva is not part of being misaka in your ways.
I'm saying tshuva is fixing yourself. It's not.
He will show it. It is there. It is there. It is there because he'll show that it's part of. So, it's part of these other things he's mentioning, but it's not a davar b'fnei atzmo in terms of doing tshuva. Okay, why do you need number one to do tshuva? This is not already a prerequisite. This is the etzem tshuva. V'nei acharata hochacha ki rabbe ein of masha osa. Charata is the emotion, the feeling, that you did a bad thing. Right? If you're not able to have charata, it means you really don't think it's all that bad. Whether you like it or not. If you stole $10 and you became a millionaire and you want to stop stealing and you find it hard to have charata that you stole $10 if it made you into a millionaire, it means you don't, you cannot come to, it could be your, we understand the difficulty, but it means you can't come to grips with the ra of stealing. Hashem said, what?
What if it's like on a ruchnius level, like you stole a pair of tefillin to wear tefillin, and from then on you always wore, so you don't feel bad that first time you stole it, because...
So you have a problem, because you violated the will of Hashem. If it's asur and it's mitzvah b'aveira, and you're not allowed to steal tefillin to put on tefillin. Adarabba, in a way, that's really bad. Because that's looking at it, that's self-gratification. Even if it's spiritual self-gratification. But it's still self-gratification. But if you would have asked Hashem what to do, Hashem would have said, so don't put on tefillin. You know, steal. If that's the din of Shulchan Aruch, which it is. So in a way, it's terrible. It's way, you know, there's an element that's worse there.
It goes back to those previous steps. You have to go through each thing, each of those seven steps, or whatever.
Yeah. But again, those prerequisites. Now he's getting into the kishkes. You have to have charata.
I've already done that. You got to...
And a chanami.
Once you do that, then you get it. What did I do wrong?
And a chanami.
Now you have to work on understanding how bad stealing. It's not like a shaila in the kiruv world about being over an avera to get them to start keeping up, like to drive to shul on Shabbos.
I hope not.
Aren't there those kinds of shaila? It's all...
I hope not.
I mean, I know those questions are asked, but I thought it was like
no.
Real shiloh.
No kiruv organization or worker would countenance, I hope not, doing a direct issa for the sake of kiruv. They might say there's no chiyuv tochacha. You turn aside, you see someone doing, if you know he's driving to shul Shabbos, so a kiruv oriented posek or yeshiva might say this is not the time to give him tochacha, he's driving anyway. So invite him to shul, and then it becomes a halachic shaila. Can you invite him to shul if you know he's going to drive? Can you invite him to your house if you know he's going to drive? So usually they end up saying that you have to make it possible for him not to drive. Mm-hmm. Let's say you invite him to your house, you have to have a bed for him. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have to, you can't create a situation where he has to drive home.
Okay.
And once you do that, but to go do an isser, I hope, I mean, maybe it'll take another 10 years for that. I don't know.
That should be clear, you're saying it. You never tell them to do an isser so that they will come to...
Wait. You're not allowed... Nobody would countenance doing an isser for the sake of kiruv. Mm-hmm. There could be a circumstance where if someone's an avarion and he doesn't know anything and he's doing avaris every minute anyway, so you're technically allowed to tell him... It's either mutter or usher. If it's usher, no one would countenance it. I'm just saying there might be circumstances in which it's not usher.
Right.
Maybe not to tell him is probably never mutter. But to allow him to do it, and even to enable him to do it, because you're inviting him, and you know, so you know, they say, but he's going to drive anyway, and you're not telling him to drive. And you, this is what I understand the elements to be. If you're not telling him directly, he doesn't have to drive. You have a situation where he doesn't have to. He has a bed by you. That's all. But In other words, the discussions from by the Kirov people are really regarding, you know, how much do you look aside? How much do you swallow? You know, you don't say anything. You don't say anything. You don't say anything. He's, you know, and you may be implicitly, you're implicitly saying it's not so bad. So then you have to draw a balance. You know, maybe I am implying that it's not so bad, but on the other hand, he's doing it anyway, and I'm doing it for the sake of Kirub. And, you know, in another year or two or three, he'll understand that it is bad. And now's not the time. It's really l'gabi the mitzvah of tochacha than anything else. Am I right, Jack? What? Okay. I hope.
Maybe not. Not that you're not right. I mean, maybe that's not what everyone's saying.
Well, then that's terrible. Then they should be closed down.
I'm sure there's a lot of gray.
No, I was in Eishet Torah for many years.
Somebody says, like,
to do an issa.
Let's say he says somebody comes and he tells his rabbi, you know, I'm going to drive to the party on Friday night. So he says, better to drive to shul than to drive to the party. No.
Yeah. Look, that sentence doesn't really say anything.
So I'm saying it sounds kind of gray to me. It's almost like telling him
to
drive.
No. But you're not telling him to drive.
Okay.
If you are, you're not allowed to. It's clear. Nobody says it's mutter. Again, it's usually in the realm of not disapproving. And like you say, perhaps even sounding like you approve. It sounds like you approve. But you're not allowed to say, hey, you're a very, you're not allowed to... And I'll be able to listen either, you know, and I'll let her tell him to do anything. Someone will say, I have a partner's in Torah in America, and there it's still Shabbos. So I'm going to learn with him because it's for the sake of Kiru, and I'm causing him directly to be Mechal Shabbos. I hope no one would say that. Okay. So charata is part of the tshuva process because it establishes how you feel about the aveira you did. Ka'omro ki achrei shuvi nichamti. Ba'omar miyudeo yoshev nicham. These are psukim that talk about the process of tshuva. Fisher achra brocha mincha v'neisach l'ashem alokeichem. Ba'omar b'mishehispit b'chatov. The flip side, when the Navi wants to describe a habitual chote, it says he doesn't have charata. Also, I was thinking about the guy that stole $10 and became a millionaire, and he supports yeshivas, and he gives away all his money, and he finds it out to have charata that he stole the $10. So that's childish. That's childish. It means he doesn't really have charata. He doesn't understand. He was not omeid on the evil of doing an avera. Millions of dollars to tzedakah do not wash away doing an avera. That's also gezel ba'ola. In fact, Hashem is disgusted by that tzedakah. Just like he's disgusted by karbonos that are brought. That's where you learn it out from. Karbonos that are brought by gezel. The Navi talks very strong. They are repulsive to Hashem. Hashem has no interest in the... But we're focused on charata now. And I'm pointing out that if Taka finds it hard to have charata, any normal person, I think, would find it hard to have charata. I'm not saying, you know, the person, you know, is a Rasha. If he can't have charata, but I'm just describing the reality. It means he really is not omeid that it's how bad it is. He's not omeid bad. If the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Yofe Shoachas Shel Koras Ruach Olam Hazeh Mikol Chai Olam Haba, so the flip side is also true. If you're doing aveira b'mezid, so that's not worth all the mitzvahs in the world. So it's hard. It's very hard because we are governed by our emotions, And so we see a guy giving millions of dollars to Starka, and it all came about because when he was 40 years ago, he stole $10 out of the drawer. So we say, wow, you know, but it's not true. It's a very childish way of looking at it. This is one of the like starkest plays. The Chavis HaLovas, as a style, brings rayas to concepts from everyday life, from human relationships. He holds that maybe that's even the reason why humans act that way, because it's a mirror image of how Hashem acts. These are the relationships that we understand because we experience them in everyday life. Here's an example, Mamashiach. And he does this in each of the four things. Then we find people act that way. So you say, what do we care what people act like? Like, who said people are nuts? Like, who cares what people do? In each paragraph, he uses a slightly different lashon of what kind of a reaction it brings. Here is the first madrega out of four. In other words, if you tell your friend, I realize I was wrong. Not I'm sorry. I'm sorry is not exactly charota. Charota that the Chavis HaLovas wants is I was wrong. Not charota, I'm sorry I did it. Even though the word charota maybe means I regret having done it, but the Chavis HaLovas explains it's a regret, because you say I regret did it because it got you angry, and I don't want to get you angry. You ask a person mechila, you know, you say I regret what I said. I'm sorry I said that. If I offended anyone, I'm sorry. That's like a great line that everybody says. If I hurt anyone. You don't really have charata. You have charata that it caused the tumult. You have charata you got caught. You have charata you lost the endorsement deal. You have charata that you got your wife upset. You can have charata you got your wife upset without a realization that you did something wrong.
You have charata on the result as opposed to...
Yeah, so the Chavis HaLovas is very specific that charata, the meaningful charata, is that you realize you did something wrong. And instead of just saying I'm sorry, when he says that your friend will for sure forgive you, no, for sure, I'd rather don't even think it's true if you just say I'm sorry. I think you're going to say I'm sorry I was wrong. That like is a hard pull. It's a hard string to ignore. When the person says I'm sorry I was wrong, then you talk. I understand completely what the Chavis HaLovas is saying. That's a huge hamshacha to get the person to forgive you if you acknowledge you were wrong. Okay, we'll stop here.